Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
The Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah. Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahweh's Radio, Talk Pod of Sabbath Day, a regular Sabbath Day, is now on the air. I be your host for the top part of the Sabbath day by name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We got a lot of memos is coming in as we speak, and a lot of good information. I don't know. You'll see. Top part of the Sabbath day, we got the memos in all six. Locations is ready to go. Camp 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from South Carolina to Chicago, from Springfield to Detroit, from Detroit to Maryland and Kankakee. All of them ready to go. Top part of 7 days. The days are all made. They are made. And this day is third month, 15th day, 2024. The third month. March the 15th, 2024. And this is our top part of Sabbath day. We just come out of them fabulous, great feasts of Purim. We've done it the way Yahweh wants to do, from 14 to 15. We've taken care of all them days. Them days are over with. Now it's time to take care of Yahweh's regular business on the Sabbath day. So we're going to see who's ready to come on stage. They still full of all that good eating. But like I said, again, the job of the seer is to keep it moving and take care of Yahweh's business. This is the day the Almighty has made for me and you, and kept to the plate. That's what it's all about. Top part of the Sabbath day. This is the day the Almighty has made for me and you.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Excellent. Remember the Sabbath day?
And what you go through brings Friday. What's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, mm-hmm. and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observes Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any scripts.
Friday night sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's like
against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see, Hollywood, as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job. Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional.
But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know, you just go in and you land, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get what I want. I'll tell them.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also.
That's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observes Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any
Friday
scripts.
Night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's like, there's a function.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood, that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Devon. Before we
even
take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know, you just go in and you land, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I
get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also.
That's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right, we live on the top part of Sabbath Day. And on the international side, it's packed to the rim, ready to go. And then we just got through doing the 14th and the 15th, sundown on the feast days of Purim. And this is our top part of Sabbath Day. This is March the 15th, 2024, live broadcast. But it seems like those on the left side must have got a hangover last night, but we did kind of catch it over big time on that film. So what we got to do is either talk or put on a previous tape until those on the left side come in. Remember, the harvest is plenty, but the labels is trim. So those are ready to get in when they fit in. That, like I said again, Peter always ready to take care of Yahweh's business because he knows what his position is in Yahweh to take care of Yahweh's business. But that same fear got to be in those that's connected into the sixth anointing camp. I guess that's at a time appointed to come. But the sinner got to lead by example, and that's why Yahweh do things from the top and work his way down. What he do? He'll knock down the top to make sure when you teach it properly, you understand that the hand of Yahweh is on you, because you got a story to tell, but it ain't about telling a story. It's about one thing, Yahweh's business. Yahweh can have you in bad shape, big time bad shape. Now you can say, well, you on your time to be in bad shape. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm in the healing business. See, Yahweh's in the healing business. That's what he keeps telling you, those that got bad health and everything. Listen, when you trust in Yahweh, he is in the healing business. You heal your mind, whatever part on your body that needs to be healed, you take care. But you have to make sure you got him right. You can't do this by poking at this thing. You got to be all in for stuff as Yahweh. Now, if you all in and just say, as Yahweh, he will step in and help you. And I'm a living witness. See, I'm a living witness, Yahweh, to let the world knock you down, then he'll bring you back up the way he wants you to be brought back up. And then you'll be a sign when people come to you and say, well, I don't know, could I make it? Yeah, you can make it. I ain't going to tell you my story, but I'll tell you one thing. You keep the Yahweh first, and I don't care what sickness and what ailment you got, Yahweh is the anthem to any problem in your body and your mind and everything else. He'll give you all the instructions you need, but you have to follow his instructions. And remember, he always starts from the top and works his way down. So if you plan on being a leader, a qualification of a leader, understand one thing. The qualification of a leader, you got to get first popped in the mouth. He's going to knock you down first. Now, if you're able to endure that, then you'll be leaders over men and women. But you're not going to just be a leader over men because you're smart. No. It don't work like that. You got to go through trials and tribulations. And your greatest defeat will come to, it'll come from the closest one to you. After one, it's the closest to the feet. Matter of fact, statement over there in the book of Judges, and Jephthah, you know, he told Yahweh, he said, now, he said, in the book of, he made a statement in the book of Judges, he said, now, Yahweh, if you are in the 11th chapter, this is what he said in the 11th chapter. Jephthah said in the 11th chapter, if you let me beat upon the mother nation, if you let me beat them real good, and the first thing come out of my house, the children are armin, A-M-M-O-N. He said, if you let me beat them up real good, that's in the 11th chapter of Judges, then the first thing come out of my house, I will sacrifice it to you. First thing come out of my house. So Yahweh called him on his word in the 11th chapter. Came out of his house after the victory, was his only child, a daughter. And when she came run out the house to meet her father, he said, oh, my daughter, you gonna brought me low. He said, what you did, daddy? I promised Yahweh that the first thing come out of my house, I will sacrifice up to him, and guess who came out of my house first? Who? You. Well, daddy, you open your mouth, so let me go on and take care of a little business and come on back and deliver me up. Because you taught me well, so what come out your mouth taught me about Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2. You taught me that, daddy, that when you bowl a bowl out your mouth, you got to step forward and do so. And Yahweh don't like it when you draw back on a vow. So if you had made any vow, according to the 30th chapter of Numbers 1 and 2, you got to fulfill them vows. Yahweh can hold it to you 100 trillion million years. So that's one thing about it. If you tell Yahweh, look, if you get me out of situation I'm in right now, I'll serve you, Yahweh. I just serve you. And Yahweh will deliver you in that out of that predicament. And all of a sudden, And he said, if you fatten my pockets up real good, I'll really serve you. Oh, okay. And he'll fatten your pockets up. If you give me that job I want, I'll really serve you. He let you get that job you want. And all of a sudden you get that money in your pocket. And every commitment that you once made, you forget about it. Guess what? That's what I didn't forget. And he's going to hold you accountable. So be very careful after mouth. That's the sign of great leadership. When you be careful what you're saying, because whatever comes out your mouth, Yahweh will hold against you. He talked about it in Deuteronomy 23. He just stalled in time until those on the left side come in. Top part of the Sabbath day, but Yahweh is no accident about anything. I'm always ready to go because I know what's my responsibility to be ready to go. But in Deuteronomy 23, it talks about something, 21. I'll read it. It says, Deuteronomy 23, 21. When thou vowest vow unto Yahweh, that Yahweh, thou should not slack to pay it. For the Yahweh was surely required it of thee, and it will be seen unto thee. 22. But if thou should forbear to vow, it should be no sin to thee. 23. That which have gone out of your lips, thou should keep and perform, even a freewill offering according to as Yahweh, as thou have vowed unto Yahweh, which thou have promised out of your mouth. You see that? So be very careful before you make a vow out of the mouth. Now, I got a lot of memos on the table. Now, here go a memo right here. Here. My mother has a lot of children. My mother is an elderly lady. If we came to one of the six anointed camps, would she be called mother or would she be called sister? Well, you have all the babies, and you can be close to 100. That don't make you a mother in Israel by your age. What makes you a mother is by your words and deeds in Yahweh. The wisdom and understanding of the scriptures of the Bible and knowing the times, that's what makes a mother. See, seniority and age, that's for the world. What makes you a mother or makes you a father, an elder, you have to have the wisdom and understanding of the Bible to be able to correct things according to the Bible. Age don't make you an elder. Age don't make you a mother. What makes you an elder mother, an elder man, is your wisdom and how you conduct yourself in Yahweh's affairs. See, I see that memo in. We might touch on that too. You never know. We might touch on that. But no, age, we cannot call your mother by her age. We call them mothers by their deeds. They work and they deeds in Yahweh. That's what produces mother. By your work. What produces fathers, elders, is by their works and their deeds, not because they're gray-headed. That don't make no elder. What make an elder is by his works and his deeds in Yahweh, how he make a decision according to the Bible. And that's the key. So that's the key right there. So that's a good question that want to bring your mother to one of the camps. And would she be called mother? Would she be called sister? But seniority earned through you doing the quality work in Yahweh's business. You have a love for the ministry. That's application of it, just like those fear. I have to lead by example. First one in, last one leaves. Why? Because I don't want to stand in my armor, and those to follow, I have to give them lead by example. That's the key. Remember one thing. Leadership is very important. So remember, in leadership, Yahweh is going to knock you down. So when you come in, please think you getting all situated, and all of a sudden some going to lead one of those children you going to start acting up. Somebody going to act up. Somebody close to you going to act up. And all of a sudden now you tried. Now see what you going to do. Okay? Again, he makes a statement in the book of prayer about that. And you see, let me show you what he says. Makes a statement about that in Hebrews chapter 12. About that. Say something in Hebrews chapter 12. Change that. We'll try to entertain a little bit until you come. March the 15th. 2024, top part of Saturday. All crash and files on the internet at 7:30. All the gates will be open from the sunset. Let's see. What he said is, and 13 chapter. What's he saying, 13? I want to talk about 12th chapter, right? Let's see what we're looking for. Looking for something to tell you about. When you come in, 12th chapter, like we first said. Listen to this right here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. For you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, or sons. Strive not the chastisement of Yahweh for another man, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. And you don't, once you get rebuked, don't all of a sudden, you got to have a comeback. When you get rebuked, then you have to have a comeback. No, you got to accept your rebuke from those that's in leadership. You have to, it's not honest. The last thing you do, you don't rebel, you have to have a comeback because you don't understand. Yahweh will give you the wisdom and understanding that if your spirit is right. Let's say now in this verse. Verse number 6. For whom Yahweh loveth, he chastens and scorns every son which he receives, etc. And if thou endure chastising, Yahweh deal with you as his sons and daughters, as whom the father chases not. But it was said in verse 8, but if you is without chastise, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. So a bastard is those that would not receive correction. A bastard ain't got nothing to do with woman has a baby out of wedlock. No, that's world talk. What makes you a bastard is when the correction comes and all of a sudden you got to come back in because it don't sound right or fit your ideology, they call it, if I'm pronouncing the word right. That'll make you a bastard. Understand that. Everybody in the Bible was corrected. I'll give you a case in point. Now, here goes a big-time seer, Book of Rebecca. Let's see what this big-time seer says in the Book of Rebecca. Show you. Big-time seer. Go on to Rebecca, chapter 2. See if I find that. So correction is going to come. Now, but when you get corrected, then all of a sudden, and your feelings don't got hurt. No. Sometimes when you get corrected, it saves your life. and because they see something according to the page of the book that you have to correct. But if you decide to not receive the correction, then you got your mouth all out looking all outside of your eyes. No, you would not make elderly mother or elderly father peer because you have to lead by example. You have to be able to stand chastised to be able to chastise others at a time appointed. Looking for a bet, okay, a bet. And watch this, this is a big time seer. And the second chapter of Rebecca, H-A-B-A-K-K-K, it says, chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand up on my watch and will watch to see what Yahweh will say unto me and what I should answer when I am reproved. You see that? When I am reproved. So that fear understands that Yahweh is a reprover. And he prepared a seer to be a reprover to the elders. But you got to have the information on high to be a reprover. You don't reprove nobody according to the world. You reprove those in the Bible. If you can stand the correction from the Bible, if you don't understand it, so be it. Yahweh will give you the info once the time appointed. But he's not going to give it to you if your spirit is not right. If your spirit ain't right, he can withhold to withhold these things from you. So, you know, the game changer is you got to have a good spirit to take care of your father's business. A good spirit. And you got to have a spirit to be able to help others, you know, and talk to them through the Bible. Don't give them the wisdom of your past life. You know, the Bible says how Yahweh operates. That's how you do. Matter of fact, you tell them in Hebrews about this man. So you say to this man about this man in Hebrews. Say something to him, 13 verse 8. Then what you get just what you say when they open up that Bible, you open your Bible, 13 verse 8. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Yahweh. You know why? The person that ain't speaking the word of Yahweh to you, then he ain't got no rule over you. I don't care who he is, who she is. They're not showing what the Bible saying. They not got no rule over you. Now if you show if you rebuking me according from my behaviors according to the Bible, scripture-wise, okay. That's a great thing. But just don't be off into your feelings and because some don't set right with you. No, that don't make a great leader. That make a poor leader. Can't do that. Got to make sure you understand what it's saying in 7. Remember them that have a rule over you, who have unto you the word of Yahweh, who faith follow concerning the end of their common faith. He said, no, forget this part. Yahweh the same yesterday and today and forever. So what makes a good leader in Yahweh is those that understand that make a Bible decision. Well, Mother D. F. Israel came on stage, so we can just get off in something now, but it was very interesting. So we got these memos on the table showing you that to be a good leader, you got to understand something. You're going to be knocked down. It's up to you, and you're always going to start from the top. In 1 Peter 4:17-19, the first one you're going to knock down is leadership. And your greatest defeat going to be close to one king. That's the one going to give you all the trouble you want. Might be that old piece of daughter or piece of son. They're going to give you all the trouble you want, but it's up to you to make a Bible decision. And the key to it is, like we said earlier, what makes leadership, it don't have nothing to do with seniority. It got to do with works and deeds. You got to lead by example from the page of the book, and if you do so, that makes a great leader. That's the answer I have for you right now. This memo came in. My mother have a lot of children. And my mother is elderly. And she came to one of the six camps, would she be called mother? No, she'd be called sister. Once she is proven to be a Yahwali woman in words and deeds, it don't have nothing to do with your age. It's got something to do with a Yahwah's word. So that's the point. I tell you, we might touch on that. Well, we're going to bring Mother D of Israel in. And she came on stage, so. And we'll bring her in. We'll see if we touch on something. Show you how it works. Well, that's the way we come here to do one thing. 6 nights a week. To only show you how it works in Yahwah. And remember one thing. This ministry is heading to the world scene. And but we know we got to be in order, what kind of order? Bible order. Because a lot of questions are going to be on the table, and we got to have proper people pertaining to answer these questions. But we got to answer these questions according to the Yahwah, not according to their feet. That'd be right. Yahwah. So we're going to bring Mother B up this here, and we just going to see we bounce a few things around on the top part of Saturday. Remember, all the camps located and ready to go. All six anointed camps ready to go. Nothing you get anywhere you're feeling in it. And remember, date is 3/15/2024. 7:30 class. Back on airway tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So listen, get anywhere you're feeling in it. Time is running out. See his job at change. Time is running out. Get in when you fit in it. It got nothing to do with age, seniority. It's how you conduct Yahweh's word upon the pressure. And when you're not upon the pressure, we might touch on everything. We don't know. But right now, we're going to bring Mother D of Israel about saying, Mother D of Israel, one of the mothers out of camp one. Yahweh be to that seed, right?
Yahweh bless you, sir. Israel, all sea royals. Hallelujah,
Father. Hallelujah, Father. Mother, got some memos came in, and one of these memos is I want to bring my mother to one of the camps, but my mother is elderly. Oh, will she be called mother or sister? And that's a good question. So you know we got to check into all that, mother. I mean that's pretty good. So we gonna check into a lot of things after you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's get something going on there, Mother D of Israel on top of the seventh day. Come on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Mother. Hey, Mother, the righteous spirit will teach you in that very same hour. We got a lot of memo we're going to take, Mother, so I don't even know where to start at. But we'll start on where they come to me. He give it to me, Mother. So I don't basically know where to start. I'm waiting on that small. Matter of fact, let's go to 1 Kings. I'm sure what I'm waiting on, Mother. I'm waiting on something, Mother. And 1 Kings, I was on a roll a minute ago. I was on a roll, but Yahweh know what he's doing. He brought you just in time to get me off that roll. So now, Mother, in 19 chapter 13, let's talk about verse number 11 and 12. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to him. Say, Mother, let's read that, and we're going to talk about that for a minute.
You said 1 Kings 19 what?
Make that verse 11 and 12. And we live top part of Saturday, the third month, 15 days, 2024, live broadcast. And live broadcast. All right, top part of Saturday, Mother. Look at 19 chapter, verse number 11 and 12. Let's see what we got, Mom.
1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rock before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. Still small voice.
What was that, mother, again? What was heard again, mother? What was heard again, mother? A still small voice. So look, now that's one of the greatest mysteries in understanding. Elijah has just ran from Jezebel, and she has threatened him to bust him on his nose. So he broke out running, mother. And Yahweh let him run till he got tired, and he made it to Mount Horeb. He made it to Mount Horeb, mother. And he stood up on the tree. And Yahweh came to him. He tore up a whole lot of mountains. He just tore up mountains and everything. And all of a sudden, small steel voice came to the man of the house. Small voice came to him. Now, the voice came to the man of the hour there, mother. But what about the regular man and the regular woman? How do they receive the word of Yahweh? Let's run to Job chapter 33, verse 10 to 16. Now, we see now the fear broke out running. That means he didn't trust him in Yahweh that can deliver him. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to know, mother, what happens when the regular man get in trouble? How do the regular man do Yahweh put a small steel voice to him? How do he operate, mother? In 33 verse 10 through 16, this is Issachar's boy, Job. This is Issachar's boy. You can read in the 46th chapter of Genesis. This is Issachar's boy. These are the people you call today Mexican. Issachar. Job 33, 10 through 16. Well, let's talk about how Yahweh operates with the regular man or woman. Come on.
Job chapter 33. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. 11. He putteth my feet in the spot. He marketh all my paths. 12. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer you that Yahweh is greater than man. Why doest thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. Verse 14. For Yahweh speaketh once, yea, twice. Yet man perceiveth not. 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumbering upon the deep.
Hold on, mother. Let me get in there for a minute. And what you do, you I'll give you a couple of minutes to kind of take off that slipper shoe and point them grandbabies for a minute. Let them know you own over 900,000 on the international side. They kind of tile left me in, so I'll give you a minute to kind of take that out. And I go ahead and finish that reading up on where you left off at. Come back in it. Let's see where you left off on. You left off on about verse 13. It says, why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For Yahweh speaketh once, yea, speaketh twice. Yet man perceives it not. Verse 15. It says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, or woman, and slumber upon the bed. Okay, so once they slumber on the bed, they're all out real good. Look at verse 16. Then open the ears of man and woman and seal up their instruction. So that's how he operate with the common man or woman. They don't get no oops. You got something to say to me here and there. No, it don't work like that. All of a sudden, you driving the car, and all of a sudden, no, it don't work like that either. If you got something to say to you seriously, you wait until you stretch out. According to Issachar's board, once you stretch out real good, then he will seal up the instructions on what he wants you to know in that kind of type of way. So you got to watch those that come up by what Yahweh have said to me. It don't work like that. No, it don't work like that according to the Bible. So now, and that's why I said we're coming on the world scene, and we have to teach the Bible, and we got to find out who already teach the Bible, not the emotions. Because one thing about it is during the world scene, you got to be prepared because all of the game sales coming, everything will be coming at you. So you can't get frustrated. You got to know how to take a deep breath and deliver. Now you got to roll. So we have to check this out now with you to see what we're working with, because once this thing is unfolding, we need to know who to put where and what position, because you got to be prepared to take care of your father's business or call to your father's business. Case in point, Mother Day of Israel. What it says in Numbers 14, verse 9, Mother? Numbers 14, verse 9.
Numbers 14, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Only rebel not you against Yahweh, neither fear you of land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us. Fear them not.
See that? See that, Mother? See, what we got to do is not rebel. Our thing is not rebel against the word. Once you find what the word is saying, that's how we supposed to be about this word. You say, now, really the world, the defense have really fallen. They can't stand up. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, that stuff can't, Lord God, Jesus, Jehovah, that stuff can't stand up. And you got to understand that thing. I need a fact, excited about it, that cannot stand up. Not when you understand your position in the Bible. So let's precept that to normal, Mother. Chapter 32, verse 23. And you can't hide in skin and gray on this thing. Because one thing about it, in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, there, Mother, what does it say we can read? Numbers 32, verse 23. Praise the Lord, Mother. They're all over the world trying to hear it, Mother. I'm getting memos in right now saying, tell Mother, put put a little more zeal, to put some more spirit to that reading. Put a little more thing to it, Mom.
I'm a study too, verse 23. But if you
two.
Will not... Huh?
You're right. 23, go ahead.
But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against your father. And be sure your sin finds you out.
He said, look here. He said, now, if your spirit ain't right, it's going to show up. He said, now, be for sure your sin going to find you out. What do you mean by that, Mother? Let's precept that to Proverbs 21, verse 2. Let's precept that, Mother. Proverbs 21, verse 2. What do you mean by your sin is going to find you out? Proverbs. What that mean by our sin going to find you out? Proverbs 21 verse 2, Mom.
Yes, Proverbs 21 verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh ponders the mind.
Mm-hmm. See, you might be right in your own eyes, but Yahweh ponders the mind. What's that name of? So the 16th chapter, get a precept on that. Okay, what are you trying to tell us? 16 verse 1 down to verse 4. What are you trying to tell us? That Yahweh punished the mind. He punished you punished the mind. We're going to precept that to the 16th chapter and see if we get a definition of what he's saying. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Seeing 1 out of verse 5, Moses, this is a precept to what Yahweh do in 21 verse 2. What do you do, Mother?
Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 5. Verse 1, the preparation of the mind in man and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. Verse 3, commit your works unto Yahweh. And they in thyself shall be established. Verse 4. Yahweh has made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Verse 5. Everyone that is proud in mind is an abomination, though hand joined in hand. He shall not be unpunished.
Hey, that's enough. That big talk, Mother. You might read verse 4 and 5 again, Mother. I think you're stuck some gold, Mother, on 4 and 5. Read verse 4 and 5 again, then, Mother. I mean, I heard something in verse 4 and 5. Okay, go bring out again, Mother, verse 4 and 5. I heard something next, Mother.
Proverbs 16, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4. Yahweh has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Verse 5. Everyone that is proud, abomination to Yahweh, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
Mm-hmm. So, according to verse 4, Mother, he made the wicked for what reason, Mother, in verse 4 again? Or what reason he made the wicked again, Mother, according to verse 4?
Yahweh has made all things for himself. Yea,
uh-huh.
Even the wicked for the day of evil.
The wicked is made for what again, Mother? The day of evil. So, So the wicked is made for the day of evil. Hey, mother, what are we living in? Ain't we living in evil right now, mother? I mean, we something be sitting on the porch and somebody pull out a bangle. These days, like that was pointing toward these days, mother. I mean, it's the wicked stuff on today. So he found out he created a people to do these wicked deeds, according to verse 4. Read that again, mother. The whole time, mother. Verse 4 again.
Proverbs 16:4. Yahweh has made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil.
So the wicked was made for the day of evil. And that's big, mother. That's big. The wicked was made for the day of evil. That's big talk, mother. Now we got to investigate that, mother. I mean, you don't like to tell a good lawyer, if you don't investigate that, you be brought up to the bar. Take your license from you. If you don't say nothing behind that. And Second Thessalonians chapter 4, mother. Verse 8.
Second Thessalonians. You said chapter 2, verse 4.
Or make it verse 8.
Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
What wicked mother? No, what do the Bible say? What wicked? What does the Bible say, mother?
It say, and then shall that wicked be revealed.
Oh, that wicked. So, mother, this is a specific wicked. So he's saying this is a specific wicked. Not just those, what is it saying, 5:17 to 19 of 1 John, mother? No, this is talking big. This is cold talking, mother. Hey, mother, this is cold talking right here. So in 1 John 5:17-19, you got to help me out, mother, because this is cold talking right here. That's cold.
He says, 1 John.
Yeah, chapter 5.
17:19. And verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whoever is born of Yahweh sinneth not, but he that is begotten of Yahweh keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. verse 19. And we know that we are of Yahweh, and the whole world lies in wickedness.
So the whole world, mother, lies in what, mother? The whole world lies in wickedness. So the whole world lies in wickedness, but Second Thessalonians 2 verse 8 says what again, mother? What it say in 2 verse 8 again?
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
So, mother, do that verse sound like you talk about a specific wicked? Because you use the word called, you know how you watch television broadcasts sometimes, and they have a police show on, one stand behind the glass, and 10 line up. You got to look out through the two-way mirror and point out that one. Might be 10 there, mother, but they want you to point out a specific one. So do that sound like that you read that it is a specific wicked you need to watch out for, mother? Do it sound like if they talk about that wicked, is that a specific wicked, mother? Or that do that conclude everybody? Is it a specific word that means what? Hey, mother, what do that word that wicked? What's that name, mother?
A specific person.
A specific wicked person. When you said that one right there, that's the one right there. That is a specific. So he said the wicked you better watch out for is that wicked. And so that wicked you're going to have some, according to angel, he came out of heaven. Came out of heaven in the 58th chapter, verse 3 of Psalms, and he looked David eyeball to eyeball, and he said something about that wicked. He was giving David a heads up to put it in the Bible about a specific wickedness. He says in the 58th chapter, verse 3 of Psalms, mother, here come an angel out of heaven, and he's going to look David eyeball to eyeball, and he's going to talk to David about that wicked. Let's see what he says in 58 verse 3, mother, of
Psalms. Chapter 58, verse 3.
That's what we said, 58 verse 3.
Psalms 58 verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the one. They go straight as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
So, that wicked mother he's talking about, they going to come out of the womb doing what, mother? Hey, mother, D.F. Israel, what are they going to come out of the womb doing, mother?
Speaking lies.
Yeah. So that's a specific. That's a, and do they got any more signs? Let's go to Micah chapter 2, mother. Pick up verse 1, which we'll read now and get our point. See, he wants you to know that you got a specific wicked that you got to keep your eye on. That wicked. Because they come out of the womb. I mean, they did a crime for the bottom. They come out the womb line. That's how they come out. Line. Okay? That wicked. Now, what you getting ready to read, mother? Hey, mother, what you getting ready to read?
You said Micah chapter 3?
Yeah, Micah chapter 2, mother. Micah chapter 2, pick it up verse 1. Micah 2, verse 1.
Micah chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise sin, iniquity, and worketh evil upon their bed. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hands.
Right.
Verse 2, and they cover fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away, so they oppress a man and his family, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which you shall not remove your neck, neither shall you go haughty me. For this time is evil.
Wow. So Yahweh said, the one you read about their mother, he said, guess what? I got a time now to take care of them. That wicked. Because they use their power to oppress the poor, power to manipulate. They use their power to keep you off balance. They use a media, Air Force, Navy, and Marines. They use all types of military tactics to bewitch you. He said they got power. They use power to manipulate you. That's the wicked. I'm going to take care of. I'm going to take care of that wicked at a time appointed. See? That's why we got on stand. We talk about that wicked. And I couldn't let that get away, Mama. So like a good lawyer, that be a good case and don't let it get away and don't bring out the top information, he ain't what it's all. Before we brought for the bar. So you folks, I'm saying, I couldn't let that get away, Mama, since you brought it out. So this specific wicked, we got to keep our eyes on, Mother. So that wicked right there, he going to go all the way, and he going to have power to manipulate the system that he put up. And he going to take things away from you through violence. He'll let you, for example, let you get a house. Let you get a house. And get the title in your drawer. Then you forget to pay 3 years of not paying your property tax. You have your house for sale. And somebody buy your house for tax. See? So stolen land that they have taken over, and then they got a thing on you that you have never really owned, but you got in your drawer. Because you have paid property taxes on it. As long as they in power. You got and they'll say they came in a minute. What should we raise up? You know what you always raise up? Property taxes. Property taxes. Because all they know how to raise up is property taxes. So you be sitting there in a house with a tight end you draw, and all of a sudden you get to pay your taxes for 3 years. Now your house on a shelf. For sale. See? Then shall come out and put you out. So you know all things. That's why we keep telling you, you got to understand. You got to. You got what you call that wicked. That wicked has to be revealed. The one will sit there and manipulate you. They'll have you scratching your head if you know just saying Yahweh. But like I said, we got a lot of questions on the table. And the questions on the table based upon, again, I want to bring my mother to one of the six camps. My mother is an elderly woman. Would she be called mother by having so many children, or will she be called sister? Well, that's a good point. I want to take a look at that. I want to see exactly about that. I want to examine that. I want to examine that by going to 1 Timothy, Mother, chapter 5, verse 1 to 19 to 20. Let's examine some of that, Mother. I mean, that's a good question. If I bring my mother to one of the six camps, would she be called mother because she's up in age? She be called sister. That's a pretty good question. Let's examine that, Mother. We're going to 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2, 19 and 20. What is the requirement of being in them positions? Okay. Let's examine that according to the Bible. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, 2, 19 and 20. What does it say, Mother?
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, 3.
19 and 20.
19 and 20. Which rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brothers. Verse 2. The elder woman as mother, the younger as sister, with all spiritness. Verse 19. An elder receives not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Verse 20. Them that stand rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
Mm-hmm. So it says one requirement of being elderly mother or woman, you don't rebuke them. Is that what we just got to read, Mother?
Yeah.
According to 5:1, can you read that again, Mother? Let's see if we get the requirements on tape. Verse 5:1. Let's read 5:1, Mother. Let's get some on tape again. 5:1.
First Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, as a younger man, the elder woman as mother, the younger as sister, with all purity.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get some requirements, Mother. So we find out now that the elderly mothers and the young ones as sisters, so we want to make sure we're clear about how to address it really is a big group of family about this here, so how to address that. Because Job Issachar boy, he addressed that, Mother. Let's see what Issachar boy say in the 32nd chapter, verse 1 down to verse 13. Let's see what Job Issachar boy, one you call today Mexican. Let's see how they address that question right there. That if my mother is of age and I have a lot of siblings, so if my mother comes to the camp, would she be called mother or would she be called sister? Let's examine that. Job 32, 1 down to verse 13. Let's examine some of that, Mother. Issachar's boy, one you call Mexican today. 32, 1 down to verse 13.
Job chapter 32, verses 1 to 13. Verse 1. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Verse 2. There was kindled then was Kendall the rap. Who the son of somebody. Of the children of Raymond against Job was his wife Kendall because he justified himself rather than Yahweh. Those friends was his wife Kendall because they had found no answer and yet had condemned them. And Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Verse 5. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Verse 6. And Elihu, the son of answered and said, I am young and yet I am very old. You are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and does not show you my opinion. Days shall speak. And multitude of years will teach wisdom. They say, but there is a spirit in man, and the impression of the Almighty, inspiration of the Almighty, giving them understanding. That's man. Men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Verse 10. Wherefore I said, hearken, listen to me. I also will show my opinion. Verse 11. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reason, with yet I attend unto you, and behold, there was none to you that convinced Job or that answered his words. Okay. Lest you should say, we have found our wisdom. Yahweh rushes him down, not man.
That's big talk, that mama. Hey, mama, that's big talk. Read verse 4 and 9 again, mama. Four and verse 9 again, mama. Hey, mama, bring that out because you know you got the question that the young man left message. He says, my mother is well in age, and I have a lot of siblings. So if I brought my mother to one of the six camps, will she be called mother? Because we call her mother. Or will she be called sister? Because she's of great age. That's a good point. That's a good question. So we got to deal with it, mother. I mean, everything is no accident in anything. But what is it say in verse 4 and verse 9 again, mother? Because this might come up, mother, and you might be in the midst of a conversation like this. So now you got to have these verses, 4 and verse 9, to take a look at it. But it's in verse 4 and 9. 4 and 9.
Job 32, verse 4 and verse 9. Verse 4. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Verse 9.
No. Give me a 5. Okay, verse 5 of 4 and 5 and 9. Listen good now. Verse 5.
When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Yes, ma'am. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the age understand judgment.
Oh! Oh! Because you have age, that don't make you understand judgment, mother. I mean, you might be 90 plus, but that don't make you understand Yahweh's judgment because you don't live to be in your 90s. So that's not the answer. Well, you know I'm in my 90s, and why you calling me sister? Because age is not, age and seniority is not the motive, give me a word, mother, I need a word. It don't have nothing to do with age. It got more to do with, give me a word, mother. Can you help me out, mother? I'm struggling, mother. Give me a word on that.
Hey, it don't make you be wise or understand judgment because of your age.
So we got to find out what we got to go find out in this Bible because you are of age. The brother says mother is in great age, and we call her mother. But he won't know if one of the camps call her mother. No, we will call her sister because you wise, because you of age. It's a little bit more to it. We got to get a case in point, mother. We want to get a case in point. Let's go to second. We're going to 2 Samuel 20, mother. Let's get a case in point. Because you of age and you are mother, it's still some criteria that you have to understand according to the Bible. See, the world has what's called a seniority board. Like at 20 years of seniority, they got 10 years of seniority. You bump them and take their route because you got more seniority. But Elohim said, not in the word of Yahweh. A bold to speak. That's what he said. Let's read that again, mother. He made a statement. I mean, that's pretty good, mother. Let's see what he said, what age is supposed to do. Because right now, the age is supposed to speak. Now, what verse was that when he said age is supposed to do this talk? I mean, that's what they supposed to be doing. What verse is that again, mother? When Elohu said age is supposed to do the talk. What verse is that again? Verse what? Read verse 6 and 7 again, mother. 6 and 7. We might well stay for a minute, mother, get some understanding. Hey, mother, we might well stay here now and get a little understanding on this, but this is a big talk for him. It's no accident. So let's take a look at 6 and 7 real carefully. 6 and 7. What
does
it say? Job 32, verse 6 and 7.
Job 32, verse 6 and 7. Tell him the son of thyself the business answered and said, I am young and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and doth not show you my pity. Verse 7. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom.
But that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. I mean, age is supposed to be to do this. They supposed to do it. What happened in verse 9?
Verse 9. Great men are not always wise, neither do the age understand judgment.
Uh-huh. The old wise mother, because you have age, that don't make you wise, because you got to understand judgment. As a matter of fact, what judgment you got to understand, Mother, that we can read over in Matthew 16, verse 3? What kind of judgment we supposed to be prepared, you understand, Mother? 16, verse 3, although we go into 2 Samuel shortly, but let's take a look at that. And Matthew 16, verse 3. Take a look at that. 16, verse 3.
Okay. Matthew chapter 16, verse 3. Matthew 16, 3 reads, "In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. All you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?"
Mm-hmm. What it called a mother? What did Yahweh call them that can recognize the weather, but they can't recognize the size of the time? What they call mother?
Hypocrites.
They can recognize the weather, but they can't recognize the signs of the time. Give me a precept on that, Mother. Give me First Chronicles 20, Chronicles. What I want. I need a precept on that, Mother. I'm struggling right now. I need a precept on that one. I can stand a precept on 1232. First Chronicles, a precept, Mother. So they call a hypocrite, Mother. They can recognize the signs of the time of the weather, but they can't recognize the signs of the time of what Yahweh is doing in these days right now. They can't see that. You have a precept on it, Mother. First Chronicles 12, verse 32.
First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment.
Mm-hmm. All right. So all they understand, they understood the time, and there was that commandment. But they all they understood it from that, Mother. Should have preached up on that. Daniel 9, verse 2. They understood about what, Mother? What they understood about? Daniel 9, verse 2. Daniel 9, verse 2. They understood about what, Mother?
Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 10. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I then understood that book, the novel.
Now what, Mother? Hey, Mother. Hey, Mother. How did Johnny understand?
That book.
That book. So what can make you to understand this thing, you have to have what in your mother?
The book.
You got to have a book in you. You got to have the book in you. See, you got to have the book in you to understand. Not because you got AIDS, you got to have the book in you to understand the size of the time. See, the book will give you the understanding about how to identify those of that responsibility and how they're supposed to conduct themselves by reading, by understanding the book. So you find out AIDS does not make you a mother, although you have plenty of children, but that don't make you a mother in to lead those of his life and spent. You got to have some book in you. Now let's get a case in point now, Mother. Let's get a case in point by going to 2 Samuel 20, verse 16 down to verse 22. We're going to get a case in point, Mother. Now we're going for a case in point. But before you read that, stop off in the book of Judges chapter 4 first, Mother. I need to get Judges 4 on the table first. Judges 4, I need Judges chapter 4, and look at this. It's an overseer here in Judges chapter 4, verse 1 and 4. I need to look at Judges chapter 4, verse 1 and 4.
Verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Then verse 4, and Deborah prayed.
She was an overseer. Yes. So Deborah was the overseer, Mother.
Okay. The wife of Labda, she judged Israel at that time.
So she judged Israel at that time. So she was the wife of Lebanon, and she judged Israel at that time. But I want to find out where is her mind is at. I'm trying to find out where her mind is. She had a mind on her about something, Mother, but I'm struggling. So where is her mind at? There's a statement. Skip down to 5 verse 7. Judges 5, verse 7. What do it say in 5? Say what? We got plenty of time. 1, 2, 3, and 7. 1, 2, 3, and verse 7. What did it say there, Mother? 1, 2, 3, and verse 7.
And Judges chapter 5, verse
1, 2, 3, and 7.
Okay. Judges chapter 5, verses 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of a Benjamin, on that day, saying, verse 2, praise ye Yahweh for the vengeance of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves hear, O you kings, give ear, O you princes. I will sing unto Yahweh. I will sing praises to Yahweh, Yahweh of Israel.
Verse 7.
The inhabitants of the village ceased in Israel until that I Deborah wrote that I arose a mother in Israel.
What was she?
Bless you, Yahweh.
So he said her mind was on the leadership. Her mind was on the leadership, and she had great knowledge. And what happened in verse 12, mother? So her mind was on toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless be to Yahweh. Verse 12, mother.
Verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barbara, somebody, and lend captivity.
Lead, mother. Wake up, Barbara.
And lead your captivity captive. Thou son of Ben-Aram or something.
So Deborah, she had the wisdom, and what she did, mother, she pumped up Barak. She pumped him up to do his job. She had enough wisdom from Yahweh to go pump him up. She didn't go and fight the battle. She pumped him up to go, listen, big dignitary. Because he asked, would you go with me? Yeah, I'll go with you. But she stood up on the tree and pumped him up. So she had the wisdom at that time because the leader was very poor in understanding.
Y'all don't have to get out of here.
So what happened, mother, D.F. Israel, Deborah pumped him up. You know, sometimes you look at a member in class and you see where they need encouragement. Sometimes, so she was a woman that had the understanding of Yahweh to encourage those that had a withered spirit. This leader of Israel had a withered spirit. Read verse 12 again, mother. Make it plain, verse 12 again, now, mother. Mother D.F. Israel, I don't know what happened, Mother. I'll read that again. The big dignitaries, they cut in on me, and they had something to say behind that. They let me know I was very interested, so they cut your microphone off for a minute. So now, read that again, Mother. So see, when we read this right here, Deborah was the woman of the hour at this time because the leadership was poor in spirit. They were poor in spirit. So Deborah, she says in verse 9, my mind is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, Yahweh. So she says, I'm with this thing. So she went on to Barak, and she's pumping him up, mother. See, that's why you got to have people around, and mothers got to understand that our job in leadership is to, when you see a person down in spirit, automatically you're supposed to be able to have that spirit of a garment and go over there and put some wisdom on them and pump them up. So read verse 12 again, mother. That's pretty good. Read verse 12 again, mother.
Judges chapter 5, verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captive captive, thou son of Abraham.
What they saying in verse 12, so Deborah had to awake, Deborah, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead the captivity captors. So she was to pop him up. She stood up on a tree and got his spirit up. So being a mother in Israel, you got to be able to look at those that got their spirit down, and you got to know how to go and pump their spirit up. That's a sign of being a mother. Millie read it, a mother or elder is not the cause of your age. It's what you do in the ministry on what needs to be done. You step to the plate, and he'll give you discernment on what needs to be done. So Deborah had to get Barak prepared to go fight the battle. So she pumped him up real good, told him, look, go over there and take care of his business. And I'll be sitting up on the tree. You know, playing an instrument. Go on, take care. She pumped him up. Because look what he asked her, Mom. Let me go back here. Let me see what he asked her. He asked her a question in 4 verse 8. Hey, Mom, he asked her a question in 4 verse 8. Let's see what he said to her. Yep. Let's see what he says to them.
Okay. Judges chapter 4, verse 8. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go.
Now, you hear that man saying, mother? He said, now, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go, I ain't going. So she knew she had to get this old jellyback leader on his feet. This jellyback leader said, look, if you go with me, I'll go. But you don't, man, you got a war to fight, man. The children of Israel in trouble. So she knew she had to prop this brother up. So she knew what it takes to work with by being a mother in Israel, that the leadership was lacking what's called vision. They was lacking vision, mother. They was looking at that big old Esau army, and they forgot about the power of Yahweh. So what she did was pump him up to go again and whoop Esau on his side throne. She had to pump him all the way up, mother, to take care of that business. So the sign of a mother in Israel, especially on the sixth anointed camp, you have to have that vision, seeing about it, pulling spirit to pump them up. You just don't get off into your own thing. You look at pumping them up to do their responsibility. So she had the wisdom to pump up the big general in Israel's army to go. She said, I'm a faint. I'm going to sit up on the tree. But she got him all fired up, mother. Go take care of the business. So a mother's responsibility in the sixth anointed camp is to be able to look at those that need to be helped and pumped up to get in their position. Hey, mother, can you understand that, mother? Hey, mother, do you understand that part?
Yes, I understand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's it. That's what I want to hear. Hallelujah. So that is the position of a mother, to look at the congregation to see who needs to a pat on the back, who needs a whip on his back, who needs some spirit in him. So that is the responsibility of a mother in Israel. Same responsibility of an elder in Israel. You have to look and see what do they need to get on their feet, and you're supposed to give them what they need to work with. I mean, in a case in point, let me go on the second book of Samuel 20, verse 6. Remember, age do not make you a mother in Israel. Age do not make you an elder in Israel. The wisdom of the Bible, and you applying it to work in the Bible by your work, that will put you in that position. So in 2 Samuel 20, verse 16 out of verse 22, what it say, Mom? If we read what Elihu said, age, old the talk, but by being gray-headed or whatever, that don't make you wise. That was Elihu said in 32:1-13. You got to have the wisdom that coming from these Bibles to be able to apply the Bible to whatever situation that a person needs. You got to be able to look at the congregation and say, oh, that person needs to be built up right there. So you got to have that discernment to go build them up where they need to be built up at, according to the scripture. Now we get a case in point in 2 Samuel, mother, 20, verse 16, on to verse 22.
2 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 16 to 22. Verse 16. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I might speak with you." 17. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." 18. Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at a bill, and so they ended the matter. 19. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel, why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of Yahweh? Verse 20. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. 21. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bishbi, by name, has lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the Lord." Verse 22. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bishbi, and cast it out to Joab, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Judah unto the king.
Back up 3 verses more again. Back up 3 verses again, Mother. When she said to Joab, she said, would you listen to a mother in Israel? Back up to that verse again there, Mother. I want to hear that a little bit more plainer. For the
national audience. Okay, that's fine. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, go
We got plenty of time. I'll just back up a little bit and take a little peek at where it says, when she said, I'm a mother in Israel.
Verse 17. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, Art thou Joel? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, Hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Verse 18. Then she spake, saying, Thou wert one to speak in all times, saying, They shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended this matter. 19. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wouldst thou swallow up the inheritance of Yahweh?
Next verse.
20.
Listen to him reply. He'll reply to what she just said. Verse 20.
And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy.
21. What happened, mother?
The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of the by name, has lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart.
So now, what kind of woman is this again in verse 15, mother? What kind of woman is this again in verse 15?
Verse 16.
No, 16.
Then cried a wise, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Then cried a wise woman out of the city. Hear, I say, I pray.
Okay, what kind of woman was she, mother?
A wise woman.
Okay. Let's precept that, mother. Let's put a marker there, mother. I mean, you own something, mother. I'm trying to lead you right off into some good stuff here because we're doing it good spirit led. So she was, what kind of woman was she, mother?
A wise woman.
That's what she was, mother. No. Let's precept that to Proverbs 31, verse number 19 and 26. Just put a marker there, mother. There'll be something all around. Can't get back to where you at. Put your marker there and come back and give me Proverbs 31, verse 19 and 26. Put a marker there and be able to come back to it, mother. There'll be something around there. Come on, make the city get happy, man. In the book, Proverbs 31, verse 19 and 26. Can you help those see all of this for the national audience? What it says, we got to analyze something. We want to answer all these questions. That's a good question on the table. So now, Proverbs, what made this woman wise, although she was a mother in Israel? What made her wise, mother? 31, verse 19 and 26 of Proverbs.
Proverbs 31. 19 and 26. 19. She laid her hands to the spinner, and her hand held the dish chaff.
That means she was a clothes maker. That means she made the sewing machine. So she,
yeah.
she made clothing. So she made the family clothing. That's what she did. Because it wasn't no Coffee Pierce Scott at the time. So she had a way to make clothing for her family. She made clothing. And what else about it in verse 26?
Verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
What you just read about in verse 26 again?
She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Oh! So that was made her wise. So when she seen Big Joab coming, she said, are you coming to destroy the inheritance of Israel? He said, would you listen to a mother in Israel? He said, yeah, I listen. But she went right away. She understood her wisdom was, what was her wisdom of, according to Proverbs 31, verse 26? What was her wisdom of?
The law.
The law. Statutes and commandments. And Big Joab said what this man did, he raised his hand, his voice to David, the king, leadership. He raised his mouth. That's what he did. So he raised his mouth and she knew the law. What law did she know about that we can read? What law that she knows? She knew the law that I don't care how mad you get, you don't raise the change the tone of your voice with leadership. So she knew something, mother. She was wise. She knew the law. What do the law say about that, mother? Let's go to in the 22nd chapter of Exodus. She knew something, mother. She knew the law. What laws she knew that we can read? We go on to 22:28 of the book of Exodus. What law that she knew? So when Big Joab told her, this way she is, this big woman of Israel, is a man of Ephraim from northern kingdom. There was one nation there, but from the north side of the kingdom. He raised his voice, his hand up to leadership. That's what he did. But this woman was wise enough to understand the law. What was the law that we can read? 22:28, mother. A book of Exodus. 22:28. What law did she knew?
Exodus 22:28. Thou shalt not revile the one more.
Thou shalt not revile. Revile means you do not revive. You do not put yourself in that position against leadership. Thou shalt not revive the Yahweh. Nor what? Nor what, my?
Nor curse the rulers of your people.
You can't do it. And that's what she knew, Mama. Now, she was a woman of Ephraim herself. But regardless of our being a mother of Ephraim, she knew the law. You don't change the tone of your voice up on higher leadership. You don't do it. That's not the example you show. So this woman was wise enough to know one thing. What did he do, Big General Joab? He raised his hand and voice up to the leadership. And she knew then and now, she knows you're supposed to do that. And that's in the old book, change the new book, mother. Find that, chapter 23. Let's go to Acts chapter 23 and see if anything changed. See, once this will make, remember, age do not make you, seniority do not put you in leadership is making a Bible decision to put you in leadership. When you understand that, I don't care how close the individual is, you still have to make a Bible decision. You can't make a fluff decision because that is poor leadership. When you make a Bible decision, that is quick leadership. Now, this woman was a Ephraim too. But once Joab told her what she had, what he did, and her knowing the law, and then in the book of Acts, Mother, Acts 23, I'm going to see if anything. See, sometimes you got to be reminded of some things. And Paul went where the high priest was at. Paul went and visited the high priest. Let's read about what happened in 23, verse 1 and 2. Now, Paul went and visited the high priest. Now, the high priest was called, at that time, it's in Tabor's word, called the seer. So Paul is visiting the high priest. And remember, a high priest means just like, I use a word called, what word can I use, like the chief of police. You only have one chief of police, like chief justice. You have one chief justice. So you got a chief priest. A chief priest means one. So you was one chief priest, and Paul came into the set. And let's see what Paul did in 23, verse 1 and 2. Let's see what Paul did, although Paul was raised from the womb. But Paul, when we read about Habakkuk, he said, I'm going to stand on my watch, and I'm going to see that Yahweh will come and reprove me. So you never will be out of position to be reproved. Everybody can be reproved. But you got to make sure the Bible points it when you start reproving.
23:1-2. What is that, Mother? Acts 23:1-2. Verse 1. That Paul earnestly beholding the counsel, says, men and brothers, I have lived in all good conscience before Yahweh until this day. Verse 2. For the high priest Ananias commanded by him to smite him on the mouth.
Ain't that something? Why? When Paul got to where they was at, they already had a council going on, and Paul broke in on the council and started telling about his thing, his life story. And the high priest ordered Paul to be hit in the mouth. Is that what we read, Mother?
Yeah.
What we read?
That's what we read.
Okay, skip down to verse 4. Let's see what happens next in verse 4. 4 and 5.
Verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4. And they that stood by faith, thou Yahweh, high priest.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
You see that, Mother? Oh, hold on, Mother. Hold on. You understand? Hey, Paul. You revile Yahweh, the high priest? See, listen. There's Paul. Now, Paul is a big dignitary. Paul got hit in the mouth. And they asked Paul, and then Paul, verse 4, and they that stood by said, revile thou Yahweh, high priest? Remember, the high priest is instead of Yahweh, the high priest. Then all of a sudden when Paul got hit in the mouth, what triggered back his remembering in verse 5 after he got hit in the mouth? What triggered him to...
Five.
Yeah, what triggered him, Mother? Verse 5.
Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the rulers.
You hear that, mother? So you never get excited enough to do things in a position of leadership. Paul was raised from the womb. But Paul had to get hit in the mouth to be reminded that the high priest, that is the seer of that hour. And he is the one that is on record to be close saying to Yahweh. So Paul started talking and trying to dispute with the high priest, and then he was ordered, the high priest ordered the man still about to hit Paul in the mouth, hit him in the mouth. Then Paul got very mad, got hit in the mouth, because he was a very learned man. But he dawned on Paul, oh, I'm out of order. It dawned on Paul that you do not get out of order on leadership. I don't care how mad you get, you don't do it. So when Paul got hit in the mouth, it dawned on him that this is what he's not supposed to do. Read again, verse 5 again, mother. Take your time reading, mother, because it might come up in one of the sentences, because like I can say again, you know, we're going to be on the world scene. And all this information you got to be on the truth might be in one of the classes that's coming up. And you might hear somebody get up. You might hear somebody get up and start running their mouth while a teacher is there teaching. And by being a mother in Israel, you might be sitting in one of them classes, and you might have a ruling member start getting up, running them out. So by with this understanding, people will say, young man, why the teacher is teaching, you do not just blot out and start running them out. According to the Bible, you're supposed to be hit in the mouth. Because there's a time and place for everything, and this is not the time. You don't revile against leadership. That's the teacher up there. That's the one that's teaching. You are a member. You're supposed to hold your peace if you don't agree. You just don't just start running out of your mouth. But you have to know these scriptures, mother, to understand certain things you don't do. I don't care how mad you are. I don't care how much you don't understand. So the mother was in Israel on the sister's thing that what one of her loved ones had did, which was from the same tribe she from, he got excited and spoke proudly and raised his hand up to David, but he didn't get it. But he just went through the process of raising his hand up. And he put bass in his voice. And we found out you don't do that. You don't put bass in your voice against leadership. Yahweh put you there, he'll take you out. So the mothers have to understand this thing. This is a sign of a mother understanding things, the law. You must understand the law. How far to go, how far not to go. What kind of way? Not through wisdom of the world, but understanding the Bible. Now read 23 verse 5 again, mother. Read 23 for the national audience one more time in verse 5. Now after Paul got hit in the mouth, what did Paul say in
verse 5? Then said Paul, I wish not, brother, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of your people.
You see that? You see that, mother? It was written. Now go back and read again where it's written at. What did Paul pull that verse to? After Paul saw wiping the blood off the side of his lip, where did Paul pull that verse from, mother? What did he pull it from? To it dawned on him. And it was 22:28, mother. Put some yellow on it, put a mark on it, put it in right. Because we come into the world seeing, mother, and it won't be long. Fear cannot be in every room, every teaching thing going on. the mothers have to be qualified to be to sit in to teaching. That's why we got to get the teachers right to be able to teach. But you have always have ruling people coming in about a Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, and they want to speak out of turn. You got to show them, teachers teach. It's going to be a time for you to air your disturbance. But you all hot in the seat over there, and now you want to go back and forth with the teacher. That's wrong. That's a penalty in the Bible. But you have to have these scriptures. You can't just use, that's my nephew up there teaching. No, no, you got to use scripture. So now you go and see where Paul pulled that from, and he pulled that from 22-28 and read it again. Paul, it came back after his lip was bleeding. He had a knot on his lip. Then it dawned on him, Exodus 22-28. What did it say, Mother?
Exodus 22-28. Thou shalt not revile that Yahweh, nor curse the ruler of your people.
Then it dawned on Paul that he was out of order. So he understood it wasn't nothing personal. It was business. And the same thing, this woman, after she heard what was Joab over there for, although that was her nephew, they were looking for. That was blood on blood. But Big Joab said, well, again, let's go back to the 20th chapter, second book of our family mother. Let's look to this conversation again for the national audience sake. Now, Big Joab had a job to do. Looking for a man of Ephraim. Looking for her nephew. And she says, I'm a wise woman in Israel. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. Hear, hear, I pray you, Big Joab, or come near hither that I may speak unto thee. Yeah. Now, 3 verse 17 again, Mom. Now, look what that woman say. Said, come here, Big Joab. Can we speak to you, Big Joab? Verse 17. 2 Samuel 20, verse 17. What does it say, Mother?
2 Samuel 20, 17. And when he was come near unto us, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do this.
18.
This is verse 10. Thou wast lost to speak and all time saying, thou shalt surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceful and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of Yahweh?
Now, hold that point. Because this guy was a blood relative to her. This guy was a blood Ephraimite. She gave us blood on blood. She said, you want to destroy inheritance and mother in Israel? Big Joab turned to speak in verse 20. What Big Joab said in verse 20, Mother?
Verse 20, Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I shall swallow up or destroy.
21.
The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bisha, by name, lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall.
Hey, that's something. You hear that, mother? You hear what the mother said? The mother understood what was said in that 22:28, and she understands about that what Paul said in time to come. So once you find out what he had did, I don't care how hot you're supposed to get, you don't change your tone of your voice against leadership. So she understood that. Big Joel, though that be my relative, just stay where you at, Big Joel. I will take care of the matter. See, this was a wise woman. See, remember, your greatest defeat can come from within. See, we have a problem of making a close decision. It's too close to make, I'm going to turn a dip. No, no. This is not a sign of leadership. Leadership makes a Bible decision, not a fleshly, I don't care how close, it may be your bed pillow talk. Come to the Bible, you got to make a Bible decision according to leadership. Good? And that's why we read last night, lesson of Michael Bolas, when this man 90 years old, they told him, why don't you bring your meat that you do eat, Eliezer, but appear to them, the young ones, like you eating some hogs. No, I can't stay, Mom. I can't get caught up in that. I can't get caught in that. You're going to deliver me up because I'm not going to get a stain in my armor by doing something contrary to the law. So go and beat my back. I'm 90 years old. Go and beat me up real good. Same thing about the woman in the seventh chapter. I got seven sons. But we ain't need no hogs. See, I was going to start killing my sons up. Sons and claiming in the seventh chapter. Take your death. Take your death. Don't eat no hogs. Take your death. See, this is what's called a wise woman in Israel. And this will make a mother in Israel to make a decision according to the scriptures of the Bible. You don't make a decision according because your viewers. No. This woman here had her nephew. She said, hold on, Big Joel. If that's what he did, what she said in verse 22?
Verse 22. There the woman went unto all the people. And her wisdom, when they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of this, and cast it out to Joel. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the every man of his tent. And Joel returned to Judah unto the king.
You hear that, mother? Now, see, that's big time, mother. So, listen, it might be one of them grandbabies or whatever. They got to make a Bible decision. Got to make a Bible decision. See, this is what Yahweh's members know. We still have to make a Bible decision. What do the Bible say in that matter? That's why the mother, the elder, the teacher, they must understand the law, statutes, and commands. What do the Bible say in that situation? What to do, what not to do, it's not your worldly understanding, it's what the Bible says. But what it says in Malachi 3, verse 6, Mother. Hey, Mother, what it says in Malachi 3, verse 6?
Chapter 3, verse 6. I am Yahweh. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Judah are not consumed.
So, Yahweh, you know, I don't change. If you want me to intervene in your life today, you got to understand some, I don't change. Same thing, Malachi and Hebrews 13, verse 8. I don't change. Make of the Bible decision, I'm with you in a Bible decision. As long as you're making a blood decision or a close relative decision and a homeboy, a woman or girl decision, that's not Yahweh. That's not leadership quality. Quality when you make a Bible decision. That's the game changer. Now, that's how you set up leadership. Like the big dignitary Elohim in the book of Job, Issachar's boy, he says, because you have gray head, that don't make you to be in leadership. That's only on job. You have to make sure you apply the book. And when you apply the book, you don't make statement out the mouth unless the Bible supports the quality of leadership. We must be in place at the time appointed, because we will be on the world scene. And everybody have to be on place to understand you must make a Bible decision. You're not going to help nobody by having your little group, a little group here, a little group. No, no, no. What do the Bible say? That's what we're going to do. That's the game changer right there. You got to lead by example, because you have rooted people, and you got to show them in the Bible that, listen, Daniel, when you conduct yourself, it's always a time and place for everything. You have time to speak, but it's not the time, because that's what the responsibility of a mother that's in the class by listening. Can't turn a deaf ear, got to see it. And then, in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 10. Let's say in Titus 2, 3 down to verse 10, love. Titus, chapter 2, 3, verse 10.
Okay.
Titus, chapter 2, 3 down to verse 10. That was some question on the table. So, there's nothing to ask that. So the quality, young man, your mother has a lot of siblings that you love. Your mother is of age. Age not make leadership. Realism of making a Bible decision, that's how leadership is formed, through leadership, or understanding the scripture. What to do according to the Bible, because it's not the same. Age does not make you a mother in Israel. Wisdom and understanding the scriptures on what to do of the signs of the time, that makes you a mother. That makes you an elder. You make a Bible decision, not a clutchy thing. That's the key. So when your mother, you come to one and sit on the couch, call sister. By her work, stand, and what a camp to go through, all the leadership is in them camp is recognized by her work and her deeds, not by her age. Age does not make you a mother. Age does not make you an elder. We have some understanding the Bible through scriptures. What you read, Mom?
Titus chapter 2.
Yeah, 3 down to verse 10. Yeah, yes. Titus 2, 3 down to verse 10.
Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 10. Verse 3 reads, the aged woman likewise, that may be in behavior as becoming righteous children, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet, patient, keepers at home, good, obedience to their own husbands, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Verse 6, young men likewise, and be sober-minded. 7, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptible gravity and sincerity. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrite heart may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. Verse 9. Exalt servants to be obedient unto their own mouth and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Verse 10. Not prolonging, but showing all good fluency, that they may adorn the doctrine, the word of Yahweh, our Savior, in all things.
So, it's all about things. And you got to do what again, Mother, according to 3, already in Titus, for the 3rd chapter, verse 8 and 14.
Is it 18 or 14?
Titus chapter 3, verse 8 and 14, Mother.
Titus chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 14. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, if thou affirm customers, they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14. And let our also learn to maintain good works. For necessity use, they be not unfruitful.
Read verse 14 again, Mother. Verse 14.
Titus 3:14. And let our also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful.
Being an elder in Israel, you got to, what kind, got to do what, Mother? Maintain what?
Good works.
Good works. So you got to maintain good works. That means it can't be something like an afterthought. Oh, you don't need me mad. No, you got to maintain good works. And what is good work that we can read in Romans 7, 12, and 16? What is good work, Mother? Hey, Mother, be of Israel. So how can you maintain good work, even if you heat it, if you all heat it in the car? How do you maintain good work? By looking at Romans 7, verse number 12 and 16. How do you maintain good work, Mother? Romans 12 and 16. How do you maintain good works, Mother?
Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and 16.
And 16. 12 and 16. You want to know through the precepts, how do we maintain good works? You want to find out through the Bible, how do we do it? You go on to Romans chapter 7. Verse 12 and 16. How do we maintain good works according to the Bible? Come on.
Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and verse 16. Verse 12 reads, well, the law is righteous, and the commandment righteous, and just and good. Verse 16. And then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
So how you maintain good works is make a Bible decision, not a fleshly leader. Because those going to watch you on how you act according to, and they going to know how to position themselves. Don't put a person in a position that's all over the place. Don't understand that to be an elder or a mother or even a sister. It's requirements that have to be shown, they have to apply to the page of the book. So young man that left a memo about his elderly mother with a lot of siblings that he has, your mother will be called sister. It ain't got nothing to do with seniority, but by her works and deeds can put her in a statue of a mother, but not based upon how old she are. So Joel, Elihu says, that don't make you wise because you got age. That don't make you called an elder or a mother because you got age. It's you having an understanding of this Bible to help others take Christ. And 2 Peter, mother, 2 Peter, chapter 2, figure verse 10. Let's read a little bit. Turn it down to verse 13. 2 Peter 2, 13 and 13. Chapter 2, verse 10 on verse 13.
2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 10 to 13. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Verse 11, whereas angels which are greater in power and mighty bring not railing accusations against them before Yahweh, George, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to what in the daytime, rowdy in the daytime, for they are in blessings. Supporting themselves with their own receiving while they feast with you.
Mm-hmm. So in the book of Jude, mother, pick it up and see another trait of his mother, another trace in the book of Jude. Get another trace of it. We'll pick it up at Jude 16.
Jude 16, verse 16. These are marvelous complainers, walking after their own lust. And their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Yahweh the Son. 18. How that they told you there should be markers in the last times who should walk after their own unyakwali lust. 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the spirit.
What do you mean by What do you mean about they separate themselves sensual? That means they bury emotions. They get very emotional. And when you try to show the book saying they get very emotional, they'll separate themselves and all they're about is themselves. They don't have the spirit. They be very emotional when you show them that the Bible don't support that. And they get very emotional. So that's the kind of spirit you got to understand. Whether you're a mother or an elder, you got to understand these things. Be a mother or an elder in Israel, you got to understand this. Can't get excited. You got to be able to go to this Bible and take care of business, because you got a lot of people be emotional and everything else. You can't get into their realm. You got to bring them to your realm. So you got to understand these scriptures. You got to understand the Bible going to stand whether you like it or not. Let's go to 6. You see what that was pulled from, Mother? That was pulled from 6:12 through 20 of Proverbs. That was pulled, Mother. 6:12-9 and verse 14. Make it the point. That verse was pulled. See, everything in the Bible is pulled. They always got something to draw on. You go to the Christian church and say, well, the Old Testament done away with. Well, that's where they be pulling it from. But it wasn't no New Testament when they were even receiving this information. So they have to have something to draw something from. Leadership have to make a Bible decision. You're heading to the world scene. I have to make sure the ones that's in the position have the Bible understanding how to lead people. Not through their own personal, and don't even bring up their personal. I always give them a Bible, what the Bible said at this come up. This is what the Bible tells you to do. Make a decision to come to the Bible and you'll make great leadership. Okay? But mothers, elders cannot be when we get ready to read and 6:12-20. That's what it's full from. That's what it says. That's why you have to be able to examine the matter according to the scriptures. And you have to know these scriptures. You can't look at your age or your wisdom and say, well, you need to be here. You need to be to understand these scriptures. And when these scriptures apply to your life, then you better help others. They're going to be the one in trouble. You got to give up yourself to help them to receive your blessing. But you can't be about yourself. You got to be about this Bible. So in Proverbs 6:12-20, Mother says,
Proverbs 6, verse 12 through 20. Verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. 14. Forwardness is in his mind. He devises mischief continuously. He sows discord. 15. Therefore shall his calamities come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. 16. These 6 doers Yahweh hates, even 7 are an abomination unto him. 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 18. And mind that devise wicked imagination. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the fathers' commandments. And forsake not the law of your mother.
Let's go to Tobit chapter, on the book of Tobit 2, 1 and 2. Let's see what it says in Tobit chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Mother. Mother, you're holding up your grain. You're holding up your grain child there, Mother, no doubt about it. That's a good sign. But one thing about it, we clear that we're on a road of no return. And we got to get out there prepared for the world scene of the people of the world from all places. And 2, verse 1 and 2. We're going to Toby 1 and 2. Now, listen to what Toby says. Toby, it's a man of hour. We're going to see what Toby says in 2, verse 1 and 2.
Okay. Toby, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, when it was come home again, and my wife Anna was restored unto me with my sons, Tobias, and the feast of weeks, Pentecost, which is the righteous feast of the seventh week. There was a good dinner prepared me, and in the which I sat down to eat. Verse 2. And when I saw abundance of meat, I said to my sons, go and bring what poor man soever thou shalt find out of our brethren, who is mindful of Yahweh. And lo, I tarry for you.
And they talk there, Mother. He said, look here, I'm sitting down for this great meal, and we got abundance of meat. He said, now go out there and find one of our brothers, but just not know any kind of brother. Because he's your brother, because he's your loved one. What kind of brother he said bring back here, Mother? What kind of brother you said?
A man of Yahweh.
No, what kind of man? What did the Bible say? He said, Mom.
Oh, I'm the trying to find. There's a man full of Yahweh.
Uh-huh. So go find a family member, but the one that's in. What kind of, read the verse again, Mom, so you make sure you got it down pat. That's because he can open you. Let's make sure we got that back, that down pat, what kind of person you bring back, according to that verse. Mother. We in Job, read that verse 2 again, Mother. Take your time with it.
Toby chapter 2, verse 2. And when I saw abundance, of meat, I said to my son, go and bring what poor man soever thou shalt find, brethren, who is mindful of Yahweh. And lo, I tarry for you.
So, all right, you got to be what, Mother? Mindful of Yahweh. Because he's your kinfolk. Do you remember one thing? Oh, that's my kinfolk. Yeah, but is they mindful of Yahweh? Or are they just there just to be eating up something? No. See, that's what I'm saying. Leadership have to make a Bible decision. You want Yahweh to intervene because he's going to intervene. But you have to make Bible decisions. He's laying all this stuff out for time to come. Because you'll be sitting where you're going to see this thing unfolding, and you'll see that teacher or that elder or that mother or that sister made a family decision. That's not a Bible decision you just got through making. Huh? That's not a Bible decision that you made. You made on your on our fleshly decision. And that's a no-no to Yahweh. That's the point we're trying to make. You got to make a Bible decision to get the reward that you want. You got to make sure your decision pertains to the Bible. Give me throughout 2:1-10, Mother. 2:1-10. We wind them on down, Mother. We wind them on down. I'm coming around the corner now. Coming around the corner. He stood tall for 3 hours, Mother. Remember, the harvest is plenty, but the labor is fruit. But Yahweh going to take care of all that. All you got to do is do your part in thus says Yahweh. What it says in 2:1 on the verse 10. The right, 2:1 on the verse 10.
Throughout chapter 2, 1 to 10. 1 to 10. All right. Shalom, chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, verse 1. My son, if thou come to serve Yahweh, prepare your soul for temptation. Verse 2. Set your mind aright and consistently endure and make not haste in time of troubles. Verse 3. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest eat his food at the last end. Verse 4. Whatsoever is brought upon you, take cheerful and be patient with when thou art changed to a lower estate. Verse 5. For gold is tried in the fire and acceptable men in the furnace of Verse 6. Believe in him, and he will help you all your ways of life, and trust in him. Verse 7. You that fear Yahweh, wait for his mercy, and go not aside, lest you fail. Verse 8. You that fear Yahweh, believe him, and your reward shall not fail. Verse 9. You that fear Yahweh, hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. Verse 10. Look at the generation of old and see, did ever any trust in Yahweh and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him?
He said, search the record, mother. Show me when you had him right, he did you right. He said, what record can you produce your calls at? Let me preach up on that, mother. Give me the 12th chapter and pick a verse 3. Down to verse 7. Give a precept on it. 3 down to verse 7. Go out 12. 3 down to verse 7. He said, show me anywhere on anybody's book when you had your Yahweh first and he didn't take care of you. Show me where you would end up, come up short and you became a midget putting Yahweh first. That's what he said in 12 of them. Verse 3 down to verse 7. What
did
it say? 12:3-7. Come on.
Proverbs 12:3-7. There can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that gives no alms. Verse 4.
What does that mean? What does that mean, mother? What it means, they give no alms, they give no money. He said, ain't no good coming to you to give no money. Ain't no good going to come to you, I don't care how much you make. According to the angel coming down, telling them throughout, ain't no good coming to you that gives no money. Huh? Ain't no good going to come to you. You're still going to be all over the place. You're still going to be always talking about Bill got his hold. Bill going to hold you down. Because you're not doing the way Yahweh tell you to do. Ain't no good coming to you if you don't give no money. Bread.
Verse 4.
Five. 4.
Give to a wise man and help not a sinner. Verse 5. Do well unto him that is lonely, but give not to the on your father, hold back your bread and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. For else thus shall you see evil for all the good thou shalt have done unto him. Verse 6. For the Most High hateth sinners and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly and keep them against the mighty day of their punishment. Verse 7. Give unto the good and help not the sinner.
Yeah, so he's telling you what not to do? That's it, mother. That's it. Give me, because you know, some eyewitness peeping at something, mother, in 1 Chronicles 12:40. It was an eyewitness. This was Northern Kingdom. Northern Kingdom seen something, and they did something. We're going to find out why did they do it. We're going to find out what. They seen something called Northern Kingdom. One called Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Latinos, and Peruvians. They did something. They seen something, mother. And what did they do in 1 Chronicles 12:40? We'll read one more and close out. What did they do, mother, that we can read in 1 Chronicles 12:40? This is called Northern Kingdom. So we have to reach out for the Northern Kingdom to understand something. They have to understand this. 12:40. This is Northern Kingdom.
I'm going to get it up in a second or two. Go back to where y'all was at. Okay.
First Chronicles 12:40.
That's what I said, 12:40. Moreover, Chapter 12:40. Moreover, they that dwell nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on ass and on camel and on mule and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes, and pigs, and brunch of raisins, and wine, and oil, and oxen, and sheep abundance, for there was joy in Israel.
So you see, the Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans, and the Latinos, they all Israelite, but they don't know it no. But once they found out, they got themselves together, and they came abundantly. It's something that they say, mother, in closing statement. 1 Chronicles 29:6-9, and close and say to mother. It's something they say, mother, to make them go all out the way to get in where they fit in at. And it's going to happen again. What did they see, mother? In 1 Chronicles 29:6-9, and a closing statement. What did they see, mother?
1 Chronicles 29:6-9, verse 6. Then the chiefs of the fathers and prince of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the kings was offered willingly. Verse 7. And gave for the service of the family, of the temple of Yahweh, of gold, 5,000 talents and 10,000 drums and 10,000 grams and of silver, 10,000 talents, and a brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talent of audience. Verse 9. He will rejoice for that they offer willingly, because with the perfect man they offer willingly to Yahweh. And David, the king, also rejoiced with great joy.
When they came, leadership was doing the Bible business. They led by example when the people came to the leadership doing tithes, free will offering, donations, and contributing their time in the ministry. The people came abundantly to do the same, and then they took over from that position. That's why it's so important for leadership to lead by example. Somebody is watching. If you lead right, the people will follow right. Call 7 that mother. Ask you on your part. You went 3 hours, mother. I can stand 3 more myself, but close and save it, mother. Take your time. Close it out, mother. We get back on tomorrow at 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
Okay, I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. And of First Chronicles 29, verse 17. I know also, my Yahweh, that thou triest the mind and have pleasure in unrighteousness. As for me, in the unrighteousness of my mind, I will willingly offer all these things. And now have I seen with joy your people with which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Verse 18. O Yahweh, Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our father, keep this forever in this, in the imagination of the thought of the mind of your people, and prepare their
Hey, mother, big digging chair. What verse was that again? You read again? What verse you took up reading?
First one for 29:17-18.
First Chronicles 29:10-18.
No. First Chronicles 29:17. And verse 18.
17 and verse 16. Excellent. All right. That was excellent, though. Y'all heard it? Great. All right, mother, you do it, darling, grand style. Is that what you said? You said 1 Chronicles 29, 17, and 16, right?
No. 17
and 18.
17 and 18, sir.
Oh, 17 and 18. Okay. 17:18. All right. First Chronicles 17:18. Excellent. All right. For the mothers, the elders, the sisters, the brothers, all that tuned to tonight's broadcast, remember one thing. Yahweh's voice to his life needs your help for us to help you. Mars Temple, number 2. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. Got to be prepared for time appointment. It's going to happen. It's only days away for happening. So we got to get in there and contribute to be able to help others to get our blessing and dust there in Yahweh. We've been chosen for these times to do one thing. Get in where we've been in it and show the people how to lead them out of poverty in the brain by donating for a land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. We're going to give a countdown, 60 days countdown. 60 days countdown. Let's get it done. Got it? Good. Catch it tomorrow at 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, whatever radio station called. Blog Talk Radio? No. Yeah. It's Blog Talk Radio? No. What's that other radio station called that mother? Pal Talk. Thanks. Pal Talk at 12 o'clock tomorrow and back on Blog Talk Radio at 2 p.m. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Shalom.
Second of the league in 3-point field goal percentage. It's tossed up. It's controlled by Jonas. James Capers is our crew chief. We're going to CJ Washington. Here he is for the Dallas. Nobody on their feet.
Toronto is willing to live with that. Shot. You can tell because Dubuck didn't even rotate.
Paul George, he's going up. Oh, with CJ. He's got high into the corner spaces. Gonna take it a shot. Blocked away. And he from behind. Doris Case now. Ray trying to get to his spot. Finds the first bucket of the game.
There is a such thing as going too fast on a fast break.
He waits, you're right. Still they cry letters.
You want to stay away from that switch. Now you might want to take a look at Zion right here on the bottom. Or he's
just
wide over the glass. Yeah, good call. This is what I mean about the officials allowing a little bit more. Physicality.
Playoff games are traditionally a lot lower scoring.
Look for Whiteman at that approach. That's why. Yeah. When he catches the ball in the range, we talked about this with Brandon Ingram. With that second year. Because he plays with such a speed and such a kick.
Well, I got there. Yeah. Protected it. Got to go out Brandon. Brandon off the line, though, where he's comfortable. Especially in the corner. Brandon trying to get there. Gets it all
right there. Slowing down and allowing the defense to kind of run by you, and then using that elasticity at the rim.
Paul George, remember the last game here? When they beat Bell, Paul George, he was watching your corner. Paul George all the way to the hole.
If you can shoot beyond.
Switches over. CJ on the reverse.
Right. This is my second key.
Z's got it. Trey picked it up. Trey on the run out by Leonard. Catch and shoot, Jose. Yeah. Leonard says, hey, let me catch it.
That's tough.
PJ Tucker makes it down with a long ball for this one. He has not played a lot at all.